Welcome to the Six Proto podcast, Conversations with Leaders. I'm Emma Rafter, and I'm delighted to introduce our special guest this episode, Mike Wojcik. This is the third in a special series of our podcast to coincide with Trustee Week and to talk about all things governance. I'm also joined by my colleague, Bill Yuxil, our business manager here at Peridot. So welcome to both of you.
Thanks, Emma.
Good morning.
It's good to be here.
So Mike is the chair of the Young Gamers and Gamblers Education Trust, or YGAM, and they're a national charity with a social purpose to inform, educate, safeguard and build digital resilience among young and vulnerable people. So welcome, Mike. First of all, I'm going to ask you to tell us a little bit more about what YGAM actually does.
I actually really like the line you just described, actually, because the objects, and that's actually as a trustee, core part of the purpose, so inform, educate and safeguard, and they're wrapped up neatly. And like with a lot of social purpose stuff, we focus on prevention but recognise there's cures needed as well, and actually use education as that tool as well. I think with a lot of the governance stuff that we do, we never lose sight of those charitable objects. From the heart and from a functional perspective as well. So, I mean, it's really wrapped up in three areas. Our approach is China, so it's embedded in our strategic plan. Then that's around coaching social workers, teachers, practitioners and the like, that they can do good things, better informed to do their day-to-day stuff. But we take out some of the hassle of it, so that there's well-structured education programs for them. It's a fantastic day out where we've got some real cracking staff that deliver that. And then we've got the peer education that's primarily driven in universities. We've just been piloting that last couple of years about young people, giving them sets of skills that can go out and connect with others and, again, deliver that message around. So it's a lovely layered effect where actually we've got young people, giving them life skills, giving them a sense of purpose, leadership stuff that they'll take out around there. They're often also embedded in the university program as well. They're studying as well. So they're connected in a way that me as a middle-aged man probably won't and can't do, and a lot of the staff won't do. And then there's a research piece as well. And we recently worked with Redbrick and did a good piece of work around youth attitudes towards it as well. So moved, not just touching the bleeding obvious around the financial damage that it can cause, but looked at kind of the addictive behaviours, the sleep, the stuff, the effect on diet and all those kind of mental health and other things around that. And it drilled into it again. And I guess as a trustee, I was involved in writing a script for that, in the core purpose and the likes of that kind of added value, which we'll talk about probably later on about between boards. As a charity, we're not a campaigning body. We kind of believe actually if we do our core stuff really, really well, we'll influence the agenda and the conversation by doing so as well, and we'll be taken seriously there as well. So yeah, we're really focused on doing the things that we say we're going to do and doing them really well. The learning piece, we've got some good accreditation as well. So we've got the Pearson, the ASDAN, QHSC, recently City and Guilds that we're going to use for the subsidiary company as well. So yeah, they kind of, that's it. You asked me a brief question.
Yeah, no, it's fine. I really, when I was reading through the website, which is brand new, isn't it? I think as we just launched.
It's fresh.
It's very fresh, yeah. Was that it was also about, you know, that young people themselves having the information, the education and making those informed choices, because I think we're seeing a lot in the press, particularly around young gamblers and the impact it's having on their lives, which you've just described really well.
That's right, and I think the press covers it, and it's a snippet though. It's always a little camera shot as well, but actually, you know, there's more depth that needs going, because, you know, how much can you capture in a few paragraphs in our attention span is pretty thing. And the website, I think, is probably the third version as well, so you'll see that what's why going on. It's quite agile and modern and contemporary, and probably reflected in that. But yeah, like,
it's interesting as well that you talked about the idea of the charity not being a campaigning group as well, which has been an interesting part of YGAM's approach, hasn't it?
Yeah, and I think that's right. And coming from a student union background, campaigning is pretty much one of the core aspects of it. I found that quite fascinating on a personal level, as well, approaching it with a kind of different set of a different approach and the like as well. But I think it goes back to, actually, if you're strategic and you do it and you stick to what you're saying, you know, and you don't follow distractions, and
yeah,
and you get stuff done that way. I think that that point about being credible cements campaigning. Actually, you'll influence by not just banner waving or the like as well. Sometimes that's needed, and you know, credit to those that do it in their space, and you get people with sets of skills that can do that in really, really well. But we brought together a board with a set of skills that's, you know, focused around the core purpose of the charity as well. And it's an emotive stuff around gaming and gambling. It's emotive, you know, whether it's from a parent, whether it's people that have had harm, whether it's press stuff as well. So it's actually a difficult space, maybe sometimes, not to respond to press statements or stuff on the news or that kind of corporation messages that often comes through underlying or a tragedy as well. And dealing with that, we're kind of, whether we do the research, we've got the advisory group, young people's advisory group as well, that pulls young people's real lived experiences. And we kind of think that approach is probably, well, it's our way. Whether it's better or worse, you don't know, do you?
Yeah, and it's interesting. Like, do you think that way has been helpful in terms of building partnerships? Because one of the things, as an outsider, I always see with YGAM is that, you know, the number of organisations that you're able to work with just seems to be growing. There's new partnerships being announced all the time.
Yeah, that's it. I think that we're all busy people, aren't we? So you have to forge those partnerships, the right partnerships, and be able to speak a language that connects your common themes. And that's paid off. I mean, I've been a trustee now for 2 years as well, and I've probably captured my ambassadorial bit as much as I've done the kind of trustee bit and a critical friend. And I'm not taking credit for the partnerships, because it's this executive team and others that do all of that stuff, but you all play part of that little puzzle that delivers you know, genuine partnerships as well. Because it's one of those cliched words as well. It's like transparency, honesty, partnerships. People wave it around quite a bit, but getting the stuff done is hard work, actually. Because sometimes, you know, your personal values, I may have personal opinion and space, and I do, like some of the stuff I do. That's just that. It's my personal opinion. I'll leave that over a bottle of wine with family and friends. And, yeah.
And so Peridot's been working with YGAM for quite a few years now.
Yeah.
Can you tell me a little bit about the governance journey that you've been on as an organisation?
Yes, so I think partnership has been critical, actually. So Grant, before my time, did a governance review of YGAM 3 years ago, and saw that there were seeds of something really special, but actually the makeup of the board, really good people, clearly, there, but had some conflict, maybe not the set of skills that were needed to take a charity on the journey that it needed to be as well. So did the governance review. The board at the time, you know, read it, absorbed it, recognised there was change needed, and an entire turnaround of the board from scratch, actually. It was taking it absolutely from scratch around. So I was one of the first trustees to be recruited. I think Bill actually rang me in the summer holidays and kind of said, we've got this, and I scratched my head and, oh, right, let's read up about it and a new space around it. So yeah, 2 years ago we started a brand new board, so there was very little looking back, because again, the administration, that kind of stuff around it. As I said, the old board had cemented an idea, developed it, got funding space around it, recognised there was space in doing the gambling part of it. So first year we're kind of just looking forward, right, you've got your kind of fiduciary stuff that needs doing, and did that in parallel by bringing new board members together, doing the partnerships, the fundraising, developing impact reports, the academic program. There's loads of stuff that went on. So year one, but every year
quite hands-on as well.
Year one was more hands-on in it. Never conflicted with that kind of operational thing, because I'm CEO as well, my day job as well. So I know that actually there needs to be a balance between actually giving support actively and actually just use the word middling, but around it with good intent often, but actually can be quite distracting because, like with a lot of things on an operation, you make good choices and bad choices, but you need to, some continuity needs to be done there as well. So hands-on, but I think targeted and respectful around of the things that needed doing. So, you know, and giving that kind of ideally guidance and wisdom as well for CEO, leader, founder.
Yeah, I was going to say, because it's a founder.
Yeah, that's it. So driven, doing shed loads of hours a week and kind of real kind of energized focus as well around that. But that often doesn't give lots of thought space and critical friend space as well, because you've got an idea around it and kind of cementing your own space and the output as well. But in the past year we've seen a superb new team built up around Lee as well, so where you've got the kind of year one foundations and all that. Year two has been very much about building the YGAM as an entity and the infrastructure to give it that kind of sustainable platform.
And how do you work with Lee as a founder? How is that different to when you...
On the radio, really, really well. He's a really lovely guy, but it's genuine. I see him. Touch points every week. You know, there'll be texts, email, phone calls around that, and they'll use me just to sound off stuff, do the briefing, opportunities described as well. So there's a good chemistry on a professional level as well, and then scheduled structured meetings, you know, between boards there. So there's a little bit of that kind of and I won't say coaching, mentoring, because actually there's a nice package around Lee's support where he's got a couple of external mentors. We've just identified somebody to be a coach for him, and then I offer that kind of chair thing. So kind of recognizing that complicated journey that CEO got, founder, his life story as well. We've kind of done the welfare bit as well that comes within kind of setting objectives and the like as well. You realize actually doing a stressful job, there's all that kind of pressures that come out of it as well, that you need to, if you're really pushing that kind of bar, your milestone, you actually need to also provide that kind of support there as well. So testing some ideas, developing seeds thing, that's I think the purpose of a chair as well, to be a sounding board. So you've got seed ideas that you kind of think, ah, there's something good there, but needs a little bit refining. Actually, some of it refining, some of it actually I can't refine it because it's not my set of skills, but somebody else in the board can do that as well. So just recognizing actually some opportunities and stuff.
How have you found that sort of balance in terms of where to trial ideas as well? Because YGAM, of course, has another board, doesn't it, for the innovation side?
Yeah, so within the year we recruited the innovation board, and that's right. So you've got, again, another group of really talented individuals focusing on finding their space and fit, and then looking at the relationship between the two boards, or some recently kind of the best out of it as well. So, yeah, you have to be quite aware that actually you've got lots of pipeline ideas and getting that kind of, getting the balance, getting a perspective, and maybe recognise the things that you might consider to be a short-term priority. You can just keep them on the Bunsen burner and slowly simmer and actually reignite those priorities as well. You've got the subsidiary company, you've got kind of national program stuff that we're looking at, you've got quality assurance, you've got kind of research areas. So the juggling as an operating perspective is an art that you carry on as you grow and learn in the role. I think with YGAM as well, no space to look back, can only look forward. Yeah. You make a few mistakes on the way as well, but probably more successes than mistakes, I'd like to think.
And of course you've got a board secretary as well. It's quite
that's
a
right
role,
yeah,
and
so again that was probably one of the things that I was quite fundamentally committed to, was actually getting the safe platforms when you're doing, when you've got fast track ambitions and you've got that kind of you've got a sense of purpose, you know what you're doing, you need to be comfortable that you've got the foundations right as well. So having those strategic, innovative conversations is great, but you need to know that your platform of governance is solid and sound as well, from your administration, from your kind of processes, just checking who made what decisions where, and again, structuring the subcommittees that work in there, making them effective so you're not clunking your board agendas with too much stuff, so you can mix it kind of with to know material, to agree, to think around in that kind of space. So you need somebody that's at, again, a critical friend on the side that's actually helping shape those ideas, doing the time consuming and admission, and doing it to a bloody good standard.
Yeah.
Really important as well.
It's a really good investment.
It's a no-brainer. Actually, around, it's like you need a core strong finance function, you need a core governance structure, and your safety and stuff as well, and then you can talk about interesting stuff, knowing that all do it at the same time as well, which is what we've done. It kind of fast-tracked all of those things.
I mean, obviously you mentioned earlier that you are a chief exec in your day job, the CEO of Queen Mary University of London Students Union, which does strike me as a fairly full-on job.
Yeah, it's good.
And you're also on the board there. Yeah. So how do you manage that sort of governance responsibility alongside your day job?
They're different approaches, to be honest, and that's the thing. You need to be comfortable with recognizing what your purpose is on each of things. So it's whether you're a chief executive on the board, you're there reporting to the board, you're a listener, you're an enabler. As a chair, you're a different kind of leader, but you're also an enabler around it. So be comfortable in your space, be self-aware, and manage your workload. Mm-hmm. So your kind of day-to-day stuff, you know, the dull day-to-day stuff, you also don't compromise because you're too busy doing podcasts or doing other stuff, or that could be quite distracting. So you need that kind of balance where you're actually doing your day stuff, your governance stuff for the Students' Union, you're supporting young talented individuals there as well, straight through the thing. So it's, you know, injections of thing and being in the right mood and space for it as well, because actually if you're doing your work plan, and you can't always think that way.
What sort of advice would you offer to anyone considering potentially a chair role or even a trustee role? Because as a recruiter that often recruits for trustees, the biggest barrier I tend to find is people's time and their workloads and their concerns around that. And obviously, you know, as we've sort of talked about, you've got quite a big and busy chair role, but you've also got, you know, quite a large charity.
Do a bit of mentoring on the side. I'll do some volunteer consultancy for a Polish language school as well, and other bits, and a parent. Yeah. Right, that's good. What tips would I give?
Yeah.
Know your limits and be comfortable. And just you're only human, and actually there's added value in anything that you do in life as well. So there's some real added value on a personal development perspective doing the chair role as well, and focus on making your own mark and don't try and clone others. So I've tried not to clone any other chair that I've come across as well. Just recognize I'll do my best, and my best will be as good as I'll give anything outside of that.
Well,
you know,
never
mind. Yeah, around it as well. In a few years' time, I'll hand over the baton to somebody else, and they'll do something bigger and better in a different space.
A
different way. That's it.
I mean,
just be comfortable with that.
You started off as a trustee, and you know, Bill recruiting you.
Yeah.
How did you make that step to chair?
You know,
and how did that happen?
Every time an opportunity came around, I had my head down, hoping nobody would notice me as well. And that technique didn't work, and I ended up being chair. So there wasn't a plan to that as well. But I guess I've got a set of skills that allows for me to do it.
And what sort of skills are those?
Just putting aside just a bit of true grit around and saw that and thought, you know what, I haven't the time really, but I actually quite like that, to challenge the fact that I haven't the time, and actually there's a need to do this space as well. And actually it was that set of driving that actually made the decision for me, actually determination to make that social purpose stuff as well. See, it's cliche, but you say you make time. And if things are important enough, you make time and you drop some other stuff. Lots of few visits to the cinema, less and whatever else have you, and a Sunday morning where you could be, listen to a bit of music or whatever else have you. You're reading, doing your charity stuff as well.
So aside from like time, are there any sort of other challenges that you found being chair?
I mean,
you've also
finding thinking space
on.
Is difficult. It's always difficult around there. So you can't underestimate that, I don't think. well, I know around it. So giving the best around it. So knowing your limits, people and personalities around there. We're committed as a board to bring out the best of it, have diversity of age, culture, gender, and the like as well. But that outside of just writing it, you actually need to actively manage that. So when you're chairing a meeting, you need to look around the room, recognise there'll be people that personalities and characters in their own profession that naturally like to talk and have loads to contribute, but the others have different kinds of styles and different things to contribute as well, equally valuable, and gives you that insight as well. So to do that chair bit, you actually need to actively do that bit as well. And as I said, and recognise sometimes you won't pick out the best bits or misunderstand, and your good intentions can help. So you, they need to kind of rewind and do all of that kind of stuff as well. Knowing when to focus and when to let go, and be comfortable not knowing some stuff that's going on, and trust others around you is important. Getting the best out of subcommittees as well, and taking a back seat there, because again, for an effective board, you kind of need those subcommittees doing the bits in between. And then ambassadorial stuff as well. There's others in the board that do a lot more of the ambassadorial conference stuff as well, speaking at conferences and the like as well. And they're well equipped to do that, and that's fantastic as well. I'd rather do other stuff personally as well, and they're less time consuming, so I can do pockets of activity as well. I think that's it. And just mixing it up as well. So Friday I'm doing a session with two of our younger, we've got a community development manager student at Queen Mary and a new degree apprentice, so I'm going to facilitate a brainstorming session with them. Ideally we're looking at getting them to collaborate, working from different angles. I've got a lot to offer to really talented young people as well, and so outside of it I'm okay at facilitating discussions and points and getting them to get some objectives.
It talks a lot about kind of hearing the voice of young people within your role there. And something at the moment that's been quite popular has been the Young Trustees movement, which you know, has been talking about the fact that there's only 3% of trustees in the UK that are under 30, and I think 1% under 26.
It's a shocking figure.
I was keen to hear kind of, you know, your thoughts and observations there in terms of diversity of age.
Yeah, I mean, the student union, I've seen some incredible talented trustees go through there as well, and the creativity that comes through, I'm going to say the authenticity, lived experience around it. I generally just full stop. I think diversity in boards and charities is an agenda. It's a serious issue that needs to be tackled. But I mean that with some sincerity as well. If we're really going to have that kind of reach and impact as well, we need to be able to open that up as well, and be comfortable with being challenged in a different way of thinking, different approach as well. So I can only advocate it, you know, around it, and I've seen the benefit, I've seen the creativity that's come out of student officers in student union environments, and they've gone out and done great things and will continue to, but probably that hasn't been felt around. And I think there's a responsible board, there's a responsible on the recruiters as well to challenge the client around it as well, as when you've got a set of skills match around it, to see actually do it or to supplement it. There may be some opportunity more about coaching and mentoring young people. I mentioned the advisory group of YGAM as well. I see that as an opportunity of giving some.
That's young people's advisory group.
Yeah,
isn't
yeah, that's right, but it's also a kind of traction of giving. Mm. The set of skills experience as well that will enable others to go in for other roles as well. And there's space on boards. If you have a board that's made up of a dozen people, I can't see that bringing in two people that sort of shakes that up a little bit in terms of the insight. Mm-hmm. Yeah, can be anything but a benefit. There's no risk to it really. Mm-hmm. And only added value by getting that insight as well, particularly if you're in the space of, if, I mean, we've got a title that says Young Gamblers and Gamers Education Trust. If that's where you purport to be, then you ought to be comfortable in having people on your board that will actually give some thought there.
I guess it's also due to the fact that you seem to have a very good induction process, you know, your systems are supporting those young people to be on the board with coaching and training.
Yeah.
But you do sometimes see boards who, you know, will have a young trustee on the board but not support their development.
Yeah.
And that's often where it can fail. It's heartening to see that that's the opposite of what you guys are doing.
We're evolving. I don't think, again, I wouldn't pretend that we've got it all right as well, but that's our ambition. We put work to that, and induction team build team days as well. So yeah, there is that ambition to do it, and that's recognition that it's a space that needs evolving. And there's regional stuff as well. Some boards are London focused as well, and there's a regional aspect that, again, if you're doing national stuff as well, you need to kind of be comfortable in that space, that you need to be filtering through the things. So it goes beyond, I think, just around age, gender, ethnicity and the like as well. I think these are all things that we should be challenging ourselves about and chipping away at.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's something you come across quite a lot, and I know that you definitely challenge.
Yeah, so I suppose in the area that I primarily work in with student unions, I would say that at least 2/3 of the board tend to be under 30 and quite often under 26 actually. So I still encounter plenty of trustees that would be young people that are actually up there with some of the best trustees that I've ever worked with right across the not-for-profit sector. So it feels a real shame to me to see those individuals that are on a board that are experienced, you know, in some instances leading charities that sort of turn over 5, 10, 15 million pounds that can then go on to ultimately graduating from university and leaving and then come off that board and then really struggle to get onto a charity sometimes that is considerably smaller in size. And it seems to me a bit of a miss to not have other organisations tap into and utilise that experience.
Lived experience and the range and depth that a trustee of a student union board will cover. So it will cover from kind of risk management, the typical stuff, as we've said, from education and advocacy, volunteering, welfare. There's a whole range and depth around that's attached to it as well. And it, often professionals are very angular, single sight lined as well, and don't have that breadth around the general governance experience that actually being on the student union trustee board will give our young trustees that thing. And that's, you know, again, that's lived experience, that skills around it that are transferable. They're transferable whether it's a youth charity or a campaigning charity and so on.
And how does it feel different working with the board at YGAM to a student union's board? Are there any differences?
Yeah, of course. I think earlier on I sort of described that. My role is very different there as well. So my responsibilities for the YGAM board are, you know, the mixture of the fiduciary through to evolving, the enabling and the like as well. As a CEO, I'm enabling in a very different way as well. And you need to pitch, you know, student union boards change on an annual basis, have some cementing and continuity as well, but there's different agendas coming through, so you kind of have your core stuff going through and you've got local university and then student union priorities as well, and focusing the attention is their attention in some ways. As a chair, the focus is on the trustees there. You have to be comfortable to park that vanity bus around there and recognise you're actually there to facilitate and support and get the right people supporting that. So yeah, different set of skills really, I think, around it, but experience takes you, you have a few pearls that can actually add value to the different settings as well.
And do you think, given also that YGAM's a founder-led charity, is there anything you would advise anyone who's looking at a trustee role in a charity that is set up by a founder who's still sort of very visual and pushing the strategy forward? Is there any advice that you'd give?
Not sure, because again, every situation is so different. So you have to be like agile thinking and have a whole palette of approaches around as well. I mean, again, if we spoke about earlier on around the purpose of the charity, so as to focus on that core purpose, articulate it well and be comfortable to work with that platform as well. So I'd always go back to that kind of to try and work towards your objectives, do the administration bit well and do the innovation bits well, and they will work with whatever, whether it's founder driven, mid-term charity or the like as well. Lee's been very good as the CEO and the founder in taking on board different viewpoints and adapting his style as well. So I mean, that's credit to Lee as well. So again, maybe again, looking at that welfare and well-being angle as well. So you're not there just to cement your style as well. Try and blend, add values, kind of refine, and all of those. They're sets of people skills, aren't they? Mm-hmm. Really, around it, less about leadership, around that added value to the founder, and because they've got something quite special that you can't replicate. You can't put that in a job description or an advert around it. So if you recognise that, and then you're part of it, is your typical governance part, your typical strategic part, but also that kind of adding value and the nurturing bit.
And because you all started around the same time, and you a fresh new trustee board, where do you start with that in terms of, you know, making sure you have good governance, but also getting to know each other and how
Don't
each
panic.
Other works?
Don't panic. Yeah, you wear those t-shirts out there as well, but it's that kind of having comfort space in all these things. So I think, as mentioned, we've got the company secretary, you've got that cemented bit. It's all new stuff, so I had a platform of no knowledge about gaming and gambling, and I've still got a modest amount of knowledge in that space as well. I'm comfortable with not being an expert in gaming and gambling as well, because I bring something different to it. So by not being just staying focused around core purpose, right, we're learning charity, right, that happens to be gaming and gambling, but actually, you know, recognizing that as well. So I think with a family, you need some shape and structure. Your board meetings need to do that bit in between as well is really critical. That's why I don't know if I've emphasised, but between boards, that's when you need that thing. And maybe pairing trustees up with staff as well as critical friends, not to manage their workload, but again as a sounding board as well. If you're going to get sustainability and growth on a lateral basis, you need that, and you need a set of trustees that can actually do that space as well, that emotional intelligence and willingness to give up time as well, because it does boil down to actually giving up quality time around it. So.
You got any more questions?
No, that's good.
Quite a lot we've covered. So thank you very much for your time. It has been really interesting to hear the journey that you've been on, and also just that it seems to be working really, really well.
It's working well. I mean, we chip up at times, but yeah, we're all pretty committed, and it's a happy space to be.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
And to our listeners, you can download our other podcasts at peridopartners.co.uk/leadership. And if you're interested in learning more about best practice in governance, you can visit our peridopartners.co.uk/trustee week. Here at Perido, we work with trustee boards in all different ways, from audits to non-exec director recruitment, governor and trustee recruitment, through to board development. So do get in touch if you want to find out more about creating a modern progressive board, a bit like YGAMS.
Thank
Cheers.
You. Thank you.